Well, hello everyone. Welcome to the week. And today we're going to be talking about something many people will have heard me mention over the years, which is riding the tiger. How effectively to do it, what it is, and in the process, how to overcome addictions as well. Now, this is going to sound a little bit unusual. What have addictions got to do with riding the tiger, and what is riding the tiger? Well, if you understand what Julius Evola is talking about in this book, you have to understand that the modern world, which he sees as, you know, the Kali Yuga, the modern world is filled with many things that can ravage the individual, one of which is addictions. In fact, addictions are all around us. People think of addictions as things like drugs and alcohol, and possibly cigarettes, things like that. But actually, there are many other hidden forms of addiction in the modern world. Much of it in our food. Sugar is an addiction, for example. Dopamine hits on social media. Outrage cycles. So once you start thinking in this way, you can see that the problem of your own bad habits or addictions and riding the tiger in a political sense are actually the same. Now, before I get going here, a lot of people misunderstand what riding the tiger is, okay? Riding the tiger does not mean giving up. Does not mean that you no longer have political beliefs or principles or that you do not want to see positive change in the world. It doesn't mean that, okay? And, you know, for Evola, he never stopped writing. He never stopped trying to bring about positive change in the world. What riding the tiger means is that you do not respond, react, become emotionally invested in the day-to-day news cycle, in all of the different ways in which modernity tries to provoke you into responding, okay, in an emotional way. And if you think about it, if your enemies, political or otherwise, are needling and provoking you, and then you lash out at them, or if you kind of respond emotionally to them, in a strange way, they are then controlling you, or they're having some influence over you, right? And if you picture it, if one force is always provoking, always needling, and the other force is always lashing out, the lashing out force, in a strange way, their actions are predictable. Their actions are being controlled by the provoker. So you need to be strong enough to not give them the reaction that they're after. Okay, so you could call this the principle of non-reaction, not being that kind of knee-jerk reactionary. You don't have to get triggered by every little thing that you see. And this advice really is not a left-right thing. This can apply, okay, not only, I mean, it will apply, most of the people watching this, you know, will identify with the political right to the extent that means anything, but this applies to any sort of person, regardless of their political beliefs. You don't have to allow the modern world or allow those things that irritate you, okay, to continually, okay, provoke that response from you, because that in itself is a kind of addiction, which we're going to get into, okay? Now, before we get going here, I would like to remind everybody to pick up courses at the Academic Agency. Trivium is the bestseller there. That's writing, logic, rhetoric, many other great courses available. The Mega Bundle is a good one to pick up. So do pick up a course today. But now we're going to get into this, and this is going to take a while. Okay, this is going to be, you're going to consider this like a mini lecture on it's quite a serious topic. And one of the reasons I'm talking about it is because on Twitter, I asked people whether they'd want a video like this. And of all the people who responded, lots of people seem to be extremely eager for a video along these lines, not only on how to ride the tiger, but also on overcoming addictions and making positive change in your own life. Okay. Now, before I get going here, there are going to be five stages to this, five concrete things you can actually start doing today, okay, that can bring about good change in your life. But before I even get to that, let me just explain a couple of things here. So you can read this book by Evola, and you can then gain an intellectual understanding of what needs to be done. But Evola himself, certainly not in this book or in any of his better known books, you could go and follow his, you know, yoga guides and things like that to try to come up with some of this stuff I'm giving you here. But in my experience, the actual practical techniques that I'm going to give you, you're not actually going to get from Evola. So one of the issues is that people will read that book and then they'll kind of have an intellectual understanding of what they need to do, but then that they won't be able to, you know, put that into practice. One of the things that tends to happen when people come into contact with Evola is that they will, find a religion or find God, quote unquote. But when it comes to the sorts of things I'm talking about, simply going to church is not going to cut it, okay? And I'm not saying that going to church is a bad thing or anything like that. I'm just saying that for what I'm talking about here, that in and of itself is not going to be enough, okay? But what I would say is, regardless of which tradition you end up following or which religious practice or spiritual practice you end up following, you should do it daily, okay? One of the things I recommend, this is just a general, this is not one of the five stages, just as a general thing in your life, you need to have some sort of daily spiritual practice that you take, that you actually make it a priority and you take time out to do that. Whether it's 20 minutes, half an hour, you take time out for that daily practice, okay? And one of the ways that you can make sure that you do it is actually by keeping a journal. I have one here, right? Keeping a journal of the stuff that you do every day. Okay, I recommend doing that regardless of what you do. Going to church or saying your prayers or whatever it is that you do, I'd recommend writing it down, because that shows that you're making a commitment to do something, okay, and that you're serious about it. So that's the first thing. Second thing is that when we're talking about, making positive change in your life, overcoming an addiction, trying to get out of habits that you know are bad for yourself and for you, you know, the people around you and for the world, okay? You have to be realistic about your own capabilities, okay? And that can be difficult. We're going to get into the elements of the self and, you know, your own kind of the makeup of your personality and things like that in a moment. But you have to be realistic about what is and is not achievable, okay, through willpower. And this is especially going to be relevant to people who are pretty intelligent, many of whom will be, you know, are the viewers of this channel, okay? Audiences kind of self-select. So I imagine that a lot of my audience, okay, has a similar sort of profile to me. When you're a pretty intelligent person, you have a habit, whether it's, this is just a pure ego thing, or you just have a habit of overrating your own ability to do stuff. You think, oh, I'll just be able to do it through willpower alone, okay? And a lot of the time, willpower, if you're relying on willpower, that's not going to cut it. That's actually setting yourself up to fail. Your willpower will fail, okay? That's not to say nothing can be achieved through willpower. Willpower can get a lot done. But if you're relying on it, you're not actually creating permanent change. Permanent change comes from discipline. And what is discipline? It is habit formation. Habit formation so that something becomes automatic. Automatic, okay? And there's a way, I mean, there's different ways of thinking about habit formation. You can call it a ritual. You can call it, you know, you can give it whatever name you want, but it's something that you do very regularly, whether weekly, daily. Okay. So as I recommended, doing a daily practice and journaling it. Okay. This is important as a, because the more you do it, the more it becomes automatic. And the test comes on those days where you're not quite feeling it. Yeah, I don't quite feel like it, right? Or whatever. But if you know, if you just know, oh, it's this time, that's when I do this. It's this time, that's when I do it. It almost, like, you almost do it without thinking. And that's when you know that you're creating permanent and lasting change. Okay? So with that said, let's get into these five stages that I've promised in the title of this video. Okay? The first thing is that you need to exercise some level of introspection that has a brutal honesty about it. You need to be brutally honest with yourself, okay? On your own strengths and your own weaknesses, on the own elements of your personality. So the first exercise I recommend for people, I've called it the elements of the self, okay? And it's based on, I mean, I touched on this. If you ever watched my Big in India video on meditation, where I talked about the fourfold breath, if you remember, in the fourfold breath, there were four elements: air, fire, water, and earth. Okay. And these four elements are ways of thinking about the aspects of your personality. Now, I've talked about these in other forms. If you remember, a few years back, I did something on the four humors of characters in TV shows and things like that. So you can think about the four humors, you can think about the four elements. Another way of thinking about it is the four suits in the tarot deck, you know, swords, cups, wands, and pentacles. Okay, that's in the four in the tarot deck. Let me just explain what each one of these are and how this element of the self exercise can help you, okay? So in this way of thinking about things, air, or the swords in the tarot deck, represent your kind of intellect. So someone who's very strong in the air element is intellectual. They have good communication. They, you know, they're kind of sharp with their arguments and things like that. But any element that is taken too far can make you imbalanced, okay? So the whole, like, the thing that we're trying to achieve at the end of this is to bring these four elements that you have, okay? And everybody has some element, some aspect of all four of these things in themselves. You're trying to bring all four of them into balance, okay? So just to go through the four of them, air is your intellect, is your kind of intellectual mind, something like this, okay? And, you know, it's logical, it's analytical, but like a sword, it's also cold and it can cut as well. So if you massively over-index in air, it's not balanced by the other three, you can become a little bit spiky, a little bit sharp, a little bit cold and uncaring to other people, okay? So you can imagine that needs to be tempered a little bit, okay? And I'm going to, what you're doing in this element of the self exercise, I think, right, is that you're thinking through all of your good points, all of your bad points, okay? Exhaustively writing them down. All of your good traits, all of your bad traits. And then you're thinking, you're sorting each one of those traits. Like, does it belong to air? Does it belong to fire? Does it belong to water? Does it belong to earth? Okay. And I'm going to go through each one of the elements in a second. But this is ultimately what you're doing. Now, this sounds like, this may sound like it's a waste of time. It's actually not a waste of time. This is the first part, like this introspective part cannot be skipped. All the other bits I'm talking about here aren't going to work unless you're able to break apart your own personality, your own character, your own self. Okay, and this is important because the brutal honesty that you have with yourself means that you're already, to some extent, overcoming your own ego. Okay, and everybody has an ego, and this, you know, is going to be the first thing to overcome. Okay, because your ego exists in a way to protect yourself. It's, you know, your ego is defensive. Your ego, you know, it's basically trying to stop you feeling hurt, protect you from criticism from outside, to protect. It's like a kind of bubble you try to put around yourself. Okay, so you need to step over that to tell the truth about yourself, and you can't do that unless you're able to, first of all, break all those things apart. So this is what we're trying to do in this first exercise here that I'm talking about. Another, so anyway, I've explained what air is. Let's go around to fire, okay? Fire it's your passion, it's your creativity, it's your imagination, it's your potency. I'm going to talk a lot about potency later on in this video, but potency, okay? And as you can imagine, again, taken too far, out of balance, too much fire can lead to rage, anger, you know, I mean, these things are pretty self-explanatory, okay? Impulsivity. These are kind of bad fire traits. The good ones, self-evident. Creativity, potency, get up and go-ness, you know, these are all good fire traits, but taken too far, they can spill over into you know, things that aren't so good. Going around, we also have water. Now the water traits are your kind of nurturing self, your kind of nurturing capacity, your ability to kind of feel emotions, your emotional self, you could say, your compassion, your empathy for others, your ability to care for others, things like that. Now, I am pretty weak in water. Okay, and this is something that I've had to kind of, it's not much of a surprise for anyone who knows me, that I'm not that strong in the water. So if I have an imbalance somewhere, it's there, and that's where I need to try to bring that into alignment with the other three. I'm pretty strong in the other three, weaker in water, okay? In fact, when I did this exercise, I didn't have, it wasn't even a case of weakness. I just didn't have many water traits at all, okay? And this could be, generally this advice I'm giving is going to work for like men, because I'm a man, right? But women watching this, you know, there's nothing in this that won't also work for women. But a lot of women may find that they have more water traits, okay, than somebody like me does, okay. So anyway, and obviously there are so many good things. You know, it's good to be nurturing, it's good to be caring, it's good to have empathy, but taken too far, that can cause imbalance too, right? And there's kind of water gone too far. Can create someone who's a bit mopey, for example, or, you know, like, think of your kind of typical emo kid or something like that. They, you know, there is a way in which you can have a negative side to all of these things if it's out of balance. And then finally, you have earth, which is being grounded, you know, at its best, its structure, its discipline, its material security. And actually, one of the things that surprised me when I did all of this is that I'm actually pretty strong in the earth element. Okay. It, you know, it's being solid, it's being dependable, it's being like a rock. Okay. And actually, I do quite well, you know, in terms of the earth traits. If that's out of balance, if you have too much earth and not enough of the other things, you can become a bit dull, a bit boring, unexciting, unimaginative. You know, you're lacking those other things, okay, that kind of make up a person. So you don't want to be only earth. You could just be boring person, okay? You want those other elements are important to make you fully rounded. But it's important to have it, right? If you have the other three without having the earth, in a way, this whole video is about strengthening the earth bit, because that's your structure, that's your discipline, that's your turning up, you know, turning up for work every day. I can count on that guy. I know he's going to be there, turning up, loyalty, all of these sorts of things would be earth traits. Okay. So, the first thing, you have to think about these elements of the self. And, you know, many people may have turned off because that bit may have turned them off, right? But it's really important. So if you're watching, don't skip over that exercise that I talked about. That is important, okay? This next bit is also important. Now, I talked about daily habit formation. And one of the exercises that you need to do every single day, if you're serious about being able to create this sort of lasting change following this five-stage program that I'm laying out here, is having the ability to sit with your own thoughts and observe those thoughts without judgment for 10 minutes a day. Okay. Now, that may sound like quite a long time to sit in silence with your eyes closed. You sit in silence, observing your own thoughts. Now, without judgment. Now, what does that mean? What does it even mean to sit and observe your own thoughts? Okay. Well, you have to, like, there's a way, and it's an ability, right? It's almost like a muscle that you can train to make it better every single time that you do it. When you're thinking, you don't really think about your own thoughts much. You just automatically do it, okay? And you're also not aware, really, of what your mind or what your brain, however you want to phrase it, what those thoughts are up to. So by doing this exercise, you kind of develop the ability to observe your own thought. Okay, and it's hard to put into words until you do it. And what I recommend doing, actually, is while you do this, picturing your thought as the sky, picturing your mind as the sky, okay? And then each little thought that comes along, you think about it as a cloud that's passing through, a cloud in the wind passing through, okay? And this is not like your classic kind of Buddhist meditation where you're trying to like cancel thoughts, you're trying not to have thoughts, or you're trying to, this is not about kind of stopping thought, right? You have to allow whatever the thoughts are, allow them to come. Don't try to control these thoughts, let them come. And don't judge them. Don't say, oh, why am I thinking that? Don't judge. Allow it to come. And just observe. Almost like you're, you know, just taking data. Just observe. Oh, that's coming along. Okay. Oh, interesting. Oh. Oh, okay. Don't judge, but don't judge it. Allow it to come. You know, and you then start to discover quite a lot about yourself that you might not be aware of. For one thing, I mean, for me, whenever I do that exercise, and I do it every day, you know, one of the things is that at some point, my thoughts tend to go on like, well, what do I need to do? What do I need to do when this is over? What do I need to do? So I'm quite a doer, right? I'm someone who, so I'm always like trying to plan, like, what do I need to do? Or, you know, after this, I'm going to make a coffee. Or, oh, I need to record this video. Or, what am I going to say in that video? Or all this sort of stuff, okay? And it's like, you have to allow those thoughts to come. They're going to come. Because your mind cannot handle the vacuum. But what you need, so, and it's important to find silence. And to sit in that silence for 10 minutes and just see what your mind does. This takes a discipline. A lot of people can't handle it. If you can't handle it at first, do 5 minutes. And what I do is I set a timer on my phone for 10 minutes. Once you become adept at doing this, once you become quite good at doing this, that 10 minutes will fly by. It'll feel like 1 minute. I did it this morning. It felt like 1 minute, but that's because I've been doing it for quite a long time. Okay. This also is an important skill to develop. Okay. The element of the self and the brutal honesty with yourself, that's important. But this thing I'm talking about here, you're developing a kind of hidden skill that will be very useful for what I'm going to talk about next. Okay. So there's my first two stages. I said this was going to take a while. It's taken half an hour, but it may even take another half an hour, okay? But if you're serious about this, maybe you'll watch this video again and again to truly understand what I'm talking about, okay? The third thing, and this is really the crucial skill that you're going to be able to develop, okay? And it doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't matter what the addiction is that you're trying to overcome. The cloud will pass. It's coming at this moment, but it will pass. Okay? Now, what are some things that you could overcome doing this? Okay? Regardless of what it is, could be a social media addiction, could be drink, could be cigarettes, right? Could be porn or masturbation, could be... you know, it doesn't really matter what it is. Anger, in my case, something I've struggled with. Okay. It will pass. The feeling comes in the moment. But just like you're able to observe your thoughts passing like a cloud, you can also feel the emotion passing like a cloud in the moment. And this is something that I've had to work on for a very long time when it comes to anger, okay? That is, you know, if I'm honest with myself, you know, like I said, I'm weaker in water. I over-index in the air, obviously, okay? But also in the fire. Like my two elements are the air and the fire. Just so happen to be like the two kind of upwards thrusting ones. Also decent in earth as well, like I said. Okay, but if I over-index anywhere, it's in the fire and the air, okay? So sometimes I can be a bit prickly and sharp, right? So like the sword, like the air. But sometimes I can just have too much fire, as anybody who knows me knows, okay? So this is the thing that I have to work on tempering to some extent. And I can give you examples of when this has happened, okay? Just in the past week. Just in the past week, I'm just trying to think. Like I was filling up my car at a petrol station and picking up some lunch about a week or so ago. And in the petrol station, they've now got a guy on the till there, if you can imagine it, and they've got like an automated till that they've brought in recently. And I was queuing up, and one of the automated ones was out of order, and this woman was fiddling about, couldn't, like, I thought she was going, but she was messing about with her purse or something. So I went to go, and then I realized that she wasn't ready, so I had to go back into the queue. Okay. Well, as I was kind of coming back to the queue, this bloke who had just been served by the till there turned around, and as he was walking out, he just went, just did me like that, okay? Just said, get out of the way. Get out of the way, he said. Now, if that was me a couple of years back, I would have gone, we could have had a fight. Or I would have followed him out, and I would have said, you say that to me again, okay? And we could have had an altercation, okay? Because that's what I was like. I am naturally very fiery individual, and I would have had a fight with that guy. And when that guy barged me like that, because this is what life is like. Life will test you all the time. I wasn't expecting it. I was chilled out. I was thinking about something else. And that guy did that. So I felt that surge of anger in the moment. I just let it go. Let it go. And that takes more strength and more control, self-mastery, than it would have done to give into it and follow that guy out and get into an unnecessary fight. Okay, that's one example. I can give you an example from yesterday. Yesterday, I went to Hever Castle with my family. We went to the Maypole dancing, and lovely, genuinely lovely place. Anyway, the missus and AAA went into the Hever Castle. They had those audio tours, and they'd gone upstairs. I didn't want to do that, and there was some play thing outside. I was like, I want to go and see the play. So I'll see you two in a bit. So they went upstairs. And it was like one of these kind of kiddie plays. I don't know what I was thinking. So I went and sat on a bench. And I had a nice moment there. Look, I was sitting on the bench outside Hever Castle. Birds were, you know, lovely spring day. And I was kind of taking in the vibes. Calm. And this old couple came and sat next to me. Right? They came and sat next to me. They were like, oh, do you mind if we sit here? I was like, oh, cool. Yeah. Knock yourselves out. I don't really mind. And then the old woman proceeded to get out a brown bag. She took an almighty fuss about it, right? Took out this brown bag. And then they got out these sandwiches. And then the old man who was sitting next to me proceeded to eat this sandwich, like a chicken sandwich or something, really noisily. And then she, you know, after they'd finished, after the interminable 10 minutes of them eating this sandwich, you know, messed around with this bag again, okay, and it seemed to take an absolute age. And then when I thought it was all over, the old man got an orange out and then slurped, like this literally slurping on this orange, okay. And again, if that had been a few years ago, I would have just got up and gone and sat somewhere else in a very huffy manner, okay? But owing to powers of self-mastery, I was just able to be like, you know, put this out of mind. I'm aware that this is irritating some part of me, but I don't need to give in to that. This is just an old couple. I'm minding my own business. They're minding their own business. It's all right. It will pass. Okay? And I was able to ride it out, not allow that anger to surge up. Okay? But it's not only anger that this can help you with. It's anything. Okay? Let's take, for example, the practice of, let's say you want to give up masturbation and pornography, which I recommend, by the way, to all young men, okay? What do they call it? No fap, right? I recommend taking that up. And I can explain why if you as well. And again, this is something for a good number of years that I practice as well, is no, you know, do not watch porn, do not consume porn, do not masturbate, etc. Okay, I'm not saying that you must do this. I just recommend it for men, okay? And for women too, probably. It's bad. It's going to tarnish your, it's going to reprogram your mind. It's going to tarnish you. It's going to corrupt you in all sorts of ways on a level of an unconscious level that you don't want to allow your enemies in, okay? That's one thing I strongly recommend. Do not consume pornography or masturbate, right? But when you first do that, okay, you're overcoming a habit, a really bad habit that you will have picked up at some point that has the form of an addiction. It has the form of it. You don't think you're addicted, but you are. And the way that you know is, well, what happens if you don't do it? What happens if you don't do it? Okay. Can you say no? Can you not do it? And when you first do that, there'll come a time after a week or after however long, 10 days or whatever, that you will feel like almost like a burning. You will really want to do it. And in that moment, the cloud again, it will pass. That feeling will pass. Something else. Take it, make something else, take up your energy. It will pass. You don't need to do it. Don't just go and have a look. Actually, don't. You don't need, and this is not, remember, if you're relying on willpower alone, you will fail. This is where the habit formation is really important. Because if you can make this cloud thing an almost automatic thing, it's effortless. Okay? Do you understand what I'm saying? So, and there's all sorts of bad advice out there for men. Bad advice from MGTOWs, from pickup artist types, from, you know, people telling you need to go and look smacks. All this crap. From the manosphere, it's not going to help you because it's not coming from a good place, a lot of it. A lot of it is not coming from a good place. It's coming from scam artists. Stuff I'm telling you here is genuine, okay? So, you know, so that's another one. That's another example. So it's not just anger, you know, it could be porn, could be, it doesn't matter what it is really. The basic principle is the same, okay? The basic principle is the same. Now, in some cases, you could say, well, there's a chemical element, right? There's a chemical element. But the truth is that all of these things have a chemical element. All of these things have a chemical, like the dopamine hit from the social media, the outrage cycle in politics. So to earlier about breaking some kind of chemical reaction that's going on, finding a way to do it as effortlessly as possible. Okay. And in some cases, you may need a little bit of extra help. Okay. So, I mean, I can give you an example. One of the bad habits I had was, staying up all night. I was bad at sleeping on time. And this is something I went to see the doctor about, and people will know about this, until I discovered, I tried all the different things, all the different therapies and so on. The only thing that worked for me was melatonin. But now, having that ability means that having melatonin means that I can actually choose, well, if I take two of these now, I can go to bed early. Okay. So sometimes you may need a bit of extra help. Okay. Realistically, I don't produce enough melatonin, which is one of the reasons I struggle with sleeping. So, you know, you can get a lot done through this technique, these techniques that I'm telling you, but sometimes you may need a bit extra. Okay. Anyway, point four is redirect your potency. Okay, the fourth stage, redirect your potency. What do I mean by that? Invariably, whatever this addictive behavior, this negative pattern is, okay, and reacting to the news, okay, and this is where Ride the Tiger comes back in. Reacting to the news in an outraged manner, right, is an addiction. It is an addictive behavior. It is a loop. All of these things are a loop. They're a negative loop. It's just a self-reinforcing behavior all the time. Self-reinforcing behavior. Whether it's reacting to the news with outrage, dopamine hits, porn, smoking, drinking, whatever the thing is, it's a negative reinforcement cycle. Your body is telling itself, I want that. I want that again, and I want that again. Give me the hit, give me the hit, give me the hit. Okay? If you're doing that, you're directing your potency, your creative energies, your fire, if you want to put it that way, into a bad direction. In the case of porn, you're literally blowing it. Right? I mean, and you don't want to do that. You want, they talk about transmutation. You want to transmute that energy into something that's productive, positive, put it in a good direction, whatever that is. Okay? Because if you're putting it into some of these things, well, it can't go anywhere. It's negative. It's a self-reinforcing negative loop. It can't go anywhere. Okay? So redirect your potency. And this is very important for men in particular. Very important for men. So much of your potency is wasted on these sorts of addictions that I'm talking about. Wasted. You don't want to waste it. You want to put it into something good. Build something. The world was built on men. Let's face it, men directing their potency in a positive direction. Not saying that women can't, by the way. Not saying that women can't. But men especially, if they can channel that boundless potential in a good direction, there's nothing that can stop them, really. That's the force that builds civilization. But if you're wasting it, it will lead to bad things, you know, negative feelings, depression, isolation, loneliness, despair, all these sorts of bad things. You don't want to get into that negative cycle, okay? Now, I'm going to be honest. I'm always honest, right? I've never really come close to having depression or anything like that. I've never kind of got to that level, okay? But I have definitely had times where I've been on a more negative downward spiral. And you always know it deep down. You always know if you're not in a good place. Okay. And finally, and this is the most important one, really. I'm going to read it out. Permanent change happened at the level of identity. Now, what do I mean by that? What do I mean by at the level of identity? at the level of identity means it comes before thought. It comes before belief. It is so habitual in you, it is so second nature to you, that it is literally a part of who you are. It is not even just a story you tell about yourself. It is fundamentally who you are. Okay? Now, some of our worst patterns of behavior, our worst habits, are when those things become part of our identity, such that extracting them is very painful. Very painful. I mean, there are all sorts of things that you can do to create what they call an identity shift. Okay. But the first thing is actually being honest enough with yourself to see that this has become the case. I just talked about how, you know, now I take the melatonin and I sleep early most nights. Okay. I also get up very early. To give you an example, this video, I've started recording it at 5:30 a.m. You know, 5:30 a.m. I got up at 3 a.m. today, and I started work at 4 a.m. Okay. But I went to bed at 8 p.m. That works for me better than staying up all night. I'm happier doing that than staying up all night. Okay. But once upon a time, me staying up all night was part of my identity. And if you watch this channel long enough, you'll remember those times as well. I saw it all through my 20s and 30s and even in my teenage years. I saw it as part of who I am. It was really important to me to have that. So then you have to think, well, why was I doing that? Maybe it's because I'm an introverted person who needs time to my own space. And in order to compensate for not being able to get that in the daytime, I ended up staying up late. It's basically what it was a lot of the time. But it was that, okay, then becoming a core part of my sense of self. So in order to stop that, I needed to form a different identity. What was the different identity? You know, well, I mean, in this case, what was the trigger? I wanted my daughter to go to bed early as well. Get her to bed at 8, get her to bed at 9, in that sort of time frame, not 10, 11, okay? So that was the kind of trigger. That was the ostensible trigger for it. But I needed a whole new, it was like that identity that I had, no longer sufficient. May have worked when I was a student at the 20 or something like that, a 19-year-old student, could have worked for me back then. Doesn't work for me now. Now I need to be someone else. I need to be a rock for my daughter, for example. So is it working for her or for me or for that identity to stay up all night? Doesn't work. So I needed a new one. Okay. This is the sort of identity shift I'm talking about. Being honest enough with yourself to say what I've just said and then being strong enough to be able to shift it in various different. And now it's second night. Now I don't even think about it. Now I think about the guy who stayed up all night in terms of my past. That was who I was, not who I am now. You understand? And the same goes for every other thing. You know, I was a guy who watched pornography and jacked off all the time. And regardless of where you are in your life now, in this modern age, most men at some point will have been that as well. Hopefully a lot of the audience are not that. If you are, I'd recommend you take steps, you know, some of the steps I've talked about. Okay. This is one area I think the so-called right has been quite good in, to be honest. But, you know, generally speaking, it's good to get rid of that habit. Now, in terms of this, also, let's be brutally honest. There are some things I'm not willing to get. There are some things I am not willing to let go of. Like, for example, Pepsi Max and Coke Zero. At the moment, I'm not ready to get rid of those. I still love drinking my Pepsi Max or my Coke Zero, and I have them all the time. I've got a cup of coffee here. Caffeine, tea and coffee, Coke Zero, Pepsi Max. I'm not ready to let go of those things. Maybe someday I will be, but I'm not ready now. And this is another thing, is that only you will be able to know if you're ready or not. Nobody, you cannot make somebody change if they don't want to change. It has to come from within you. And I know, I'm honest enough with myself to know, right now, it's not, I don't want to get rid of those things. Another thing that I'm not willing to give up is my cigars. Cigars are not really a habit. They're more of a kind of luxury in my mind. Okay. I can easily go months without smoking one if I wanted to. That's how you know if it's a habit, if it's a true like addiction or simply something that you do. Cigars are something I enjoy doing. I like the taste. Okay. It helps me think and things like that. I don't need it. Could I do without my Pepsi Max? I don't know. I'm probably addicted to them. Okay, I'm not ready to give those up. Never say never, though. Maybe one day I will be ready to give up. Okay. Other things, yes, you are. Or other things, yes, I am. I'll give you an example. One of the things I think that I've been addicted to in the past is burgers. I fucking love them, right? I absolutely love them. But I've kind of been there, got the T-shirt, got the double XL T-shirt even. And it's kind of done. I've kind of done it to death. I've done it. I don't need, once you've done something, you kind of don't need to do it anymore. So that's one of the things that, I don't really need it. Doesn't do for me what it used to do before. And again, sometimes when you're doing the elements of the self or when you're doing the introspection or whatever, you come to certain realizations. Like, why did I love burgers so much? It's because going to McDonald's was such a big treat when I was a kid, right? Back then, you had to go to Swansea or Cardiff, and it was such a, it was almost like romanticized in my mind. And you kind of always want to get back there. And a lot of the time, the thing that you're chasing, you're never going to reach it. You're never going to reach it. I'm never going to be able to recreate being 8 years old and knowing what it was like. Like feeling that feeling of being in McDonald's in Cardiff when I was eight. I'll never recapture that. But for a lot of people, for me, for almost everybody's like this. You almost have to live through it to come to the realization. Okay. There are so many things that bad habits that you pick up that you can then let go of once you've achieved this, once you've been able to achieve some degree of self-mastery. I'm not going to call it total self-mastery, but it's an ability that you can pick up. But once you have it, you can start applying it to many different areas in life. So to come back to Evola and Ride the Tiger, what is riding the tiger ultimately? It's about self-control. It's about self-mastery. In Evola's system, the core of masculinity is in self-control. Self-mastery. This is what we've been talking about for this entire video. So, if I'm not going to pretend, right, that I have the patience to be like a self-help guru, I'm not that guy, okay? I am not your kind of, I know Stefan Molyneux went off in this kind of direction. But I will say on this video, if you know, if you struggle with any of the things I've talked about, if you struggle with addictions, or if you struggle with the perpetual outrage cycle of politics, or if you found yourself addicted to sugar or to porn or whatever it is, okay, I would like to think that people in the community will be understanding enough that this is not necessarily a negative reflection on any one individual. This is just the pathologies of the modern world. Okay, the modern world is stock full of this stuff. I mean, think of the stories of what happened to people when they first came into contact with modernity. You know, the Native Americans coming into contact with quote-unquote modernity, and they were immediately addicted to drugs and alcohol and gambling because they had no defenses against these things. Okay, but the truth is most people don't have good defenses against these things. And because our systems, our modern systems, are not geared up for the interests of normal people. They're geared up for the interests of, let's just call them special interests, or people who want to make a buck, or vice industries, call them what you want. People who don't have your best interest in mind, let's put it that way, okay? Because they're geared towards the profit of those people. You're just basically prey. Like, you're just prey. And the environment is predatory. So I'm not going to have a go at any single person because they have not been, you know, most people aren't prepared for the onslaught, the ravages, okay, of the things that Evola talks about in this book, which is basically the modern world. What I've tried to do here, and forgive me if my thoughts weren't always as structured as they might have been, but, you know, there was a lot to get through. What I've tried to provide you here is the start of the basis of creating a lasting change so that you have some basic protections against those ravages, okay? I'm not going to tell you what you need to get rid of, okay, or what you need to change in yourself. Only you know that. And you have to be honest with yourself, and you have to be ready. So nobody else, I can't tell you what you need to do or not do, okay? I can sit here and moralize and say, like, look, you need to start whacking off and start watching porn, okay? As I did earlier on. I can get up on my soapbox. But the fact is, you won't be ready to do that until you're ready yourself. And it will take this process that I've talked about to realize that you can have an identity shift. You don't need to be that guy who's jacking off, as an example, okay? Or it could be any other addiction. Any other addiction at all. Or anger, like I talked about. In my case, anger has been a core problem. Anger, not sleeping, all of my other ones, eating too many burgers, you know. like, I'm honest. I'm honest with myself and I'm honest with you. But yours may be different ones. They may be different ones. And the thing is that this is just a starting point. This is just a starting point. It could be that for your specific thing, you need some extra thing. You know, like for my sleep thing, I needed melatonin as a way of adjusting a chemical imbalance that I have myself, okay? And, I mean, maybe you could get there through enough discipline, right? But realistically, I need that little bit of help, okay? And it could be that for your thing, whatever it is, that you need some extra thing, okay? Some addictions have a stronger chemical component than others. You know, drugs and alcohol and nicotine, for example. You know, you may need that patch thing, or you may need the what do they call it? That the electronic one. Like, you may need some extra little gimmick or whatever to help you get through. Okay, but this, as a basic framework, is actually effective, and it will work if you follow it to the letter. And by the letter, I mean all of the things I mentioned, having a daily practice, you know, the discipline, the habit formation, the 10 minutes of observing your own thoughts, not skipping that, not thinking, oh, well, I've done it now. I've done it once. I can do it. You have to do it every day to build it up as a skill. Because if you don't do that, you won't be able to do the third part, which is it's going to pass. It will pass. It's fine. It will go. Okay. And life will test you. It will test you. Like that guy barging me in the petrol station. That was a test. I came through that one. I don't always pass. Okay. It will test you. Women will test you. Okay. Everything in life is going to test you. And you have to just have the strength to come through those tests. Okay, the pornography one that I talked about, there are going to be struggles. And if you don't have that core skill, what I'm talking about, of being able to dissociate and overcome, it's going to get the better of you again. Okay, and this is something you can apply to every different area. Okay. I mean, let's talk about another one. Given that we're talking about riding the tiger, and there's a political element, one of the problems I have, and this is probably my most recent one, right? This is the most recent one. One of the issues I had was Twitter. Being on Twitter too much. You know, getting too involved in what's happening on there. So I thought, well, realistically, you've got to give yourself a fighting chance, you see. Realistically, I'm not going to be able to just, like, go cold turkey. Okay, I just know myself well enough that at some point I'll pick it up. So how could I overcome the doom scroll such that you do it long enough that you break that cycle, so you feel like it's in your past, right? Okay, and what everybody who follows me on Twitter will know that I did this. I thought, well, right, I'm gonna do an identity shift on the actual account. I'm gonna say, look, this account now is dedicated to nostalgia, talking about old movies and games and, you know, nice pictures from the past and things like that. It's going to just be a different type of account. I mean, it's going to talk about these sorts of things now. And in the process of that, I can gain the For You page to stop it being like political slop. It's not 100% successful due to some quirks of the algo, right? Some stuff gets through. I still follow a lot of political accounts, so it's the For You is going to show me, you know, dribs and drabs. But ultimately, I've been able to break the doom scroll. When I go on, now I still haven't been able to break the need to go on Twitter. Everything in stages, right? I still go on Twitter. And realistically, me with a 60,000 account and running this channel, I'm going to need to go on Twitter sometimes. Okay, I need to have a Twitter account for business purposes, just put it that way. Okay, so I can't completely give it up, but I've been able to reorientate what that experience is like to lessen the true negative effect, which is the doom scroll. Now I don't doom scroll. Now it's actually quite pleasant to go on Twitter because the nature of my feed is such that I'm just being reminded of stuff from the 90s. I'm seeing nice cottages, you know, stuff like that. I've reduced the main problem, which is the outrage. What's Donald Trump said now? Actually, I don't care anymore. Just don't care. Okay? So this is riding the tiger. Doesn't mean I've changed any of my political beliefs. Doesn't mean that I don't want a better world and all the rest of it. It just means that you're not caught up in that. And I recommend that everybody takes those steps, you know, on the political front as well. You don't need to be in the cut and thrust of, you know, the everyday cycle. Bad for you. It's obviously bad. It's obviously, everybody knows down in their heart that outrage cycle, the political slop cycle, is bad for them. Bad, you know, cortisol level, whatever, however you want to talk about it, it's obviously not good for your mental state, which is why a lot of people wanted this video in the first place. So, taking me an hour, let me know what you think. Pick up a course at the Academic Agency, and I'll see you all next time. Maybe we'll return to news or something else in the next video. This is kind of a special one-off today, but I hope you appreciate it. All right, bye everyone. If you like this video, be sure to like and subscribe. You can join the channel for thousands of hours of past shows in the archive and hundreds of videos. If you have any questions, you can leave a super chat or a super thanks, and I'll be sure to pick it up during my weekly office hours, which run every Tuesday afternoon. I also provide courses at the Academic Agency, which I encourage people to buy. Thousands of students now have taken the Trivium to improve their skills in writing, logic, and rhetoric. Just three of many courses available. Buy it now. But most importantly of all, friends, get out.